We met someone from another church, an old friend, and all she could talk about is, you know, her other friends that went for deliverance, and one, you know, chatted like a monkey, or one slid like a snake, another one was coughing, another one. Now look at our church. We say Jesus' name many times, and nobody does that. We don't have bucking dogs. We don't have that kind of thing. You know, somewhere along the way, there is a teaching that someone, a teacher so-called, will tell you that sometimes it will come out like this, it will come out like that. Then it comes to you and point to your eyeball and say, in Jesus' name, come out. Then you feel something stirring. Then you, you know. But I'll tell you this. I'm not making, okay, I'm making fun to prove a point. But what I'm trying to say is this, people. You cannot find this in the ministry of Jesus. It's chop, chop. At the most, foaming in the mouth. You're not even allowed the demon to speak. So you want a Jesus-style ministry of deliverance? He didn't go around. When I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are demons involved. But it's very straightforward. He used his authority, they're out. Amen? What do you expect demons to tell you? In the name of Jesus, tell me your name. Lying. Are you telling me the truth? Huh? What do you expect them to tell you? Jesus never, well, Pastor Prince, he asked that demon, what is your name? Only one time. Only one time to demonstrate to all that this guy was possessed by a legion. But his mother's operandi is, shut up when a demon speak. Shut up and come out. In the Greek, be muzzled. Amen. Amen. Okay? Romans 4. Well, let's go to Philippians 2 first. I'm going to answer the question. Where do you find the Bible that we confess we are the righteousness of God? Okay. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name which is above every name. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus' name is the name above every name. Name me any disease, his name is above that name. If science come up with a certain amount, or Ebola is not a new disease, of course, but let's say Ebola, all right? The word Ebola just came out last week. Just imagine, all right? His name is above every name. Every disease, whatever it is, every demon, whatever name it is, he is, all right? The name of Jesus is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. You know what that tells me? That those who don't bow to the name of Jesus here will bow in hell. They will still bow. Everyone that blasphemes Jesus will one day in hell say, Jesus is Lord. Because the Bible says so. Every knee will bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Say every knee bow. Every knee bow. Say every tongue confess. All right? Now let's Do you know that he's quoting an Old Testament and bringing us the fullness of the truth of the Old Testament? Would you like to see it? Okay. Say every knee bow. Every knee bow. Every tongue confess. Every tongue confess. Where do you find that? Paul is quoting Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah. I have sworn, God is talking, by myself. Now, this is the greatest oath in the entire universe. When God swears by himself, I want you to know something. It's the greatest oath ever. All right. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That to me, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall take an oath. All those who don't bow to him now will still bow in hell. God has said every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth. We bow our knee here, we are saved. We bow down there is to acknowledge in righteousness that he is Lord. But you're not saved. Okay? And by the way, you must look at your idea of what is politically correct of the Bible and look at what is correct. Okay? Your idea doesn't amount to a hill of beans with God. It's his idea that's important. Repentance means we change our thoughts to his thoughts. Can I have a good amen? Okay, so God says, every knee will bow, every tongue will take an oath or confess. What? Next verse. He shall say, watch this. Surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. Now, we read in Philippians that our confession is Jesus Christ is Lord. Just like Romans 10, Jesus, confess your mouth, Jesus is Lord. But with the heart, you actually believe. When you say Jesus is Lord, what are you saying? Jesus is my righteousness. The Lord, my righteousness. Here he brings it out. Surely shall one say. He's talking about people bowing before him. Every knee bow, every tongue takes an oath. And what is the confession? Surely he shall say, Isaiah saw you and I. Isaiah saw the teachings that we have today. Isaiah saw. And he's looking at you, man. He's looking at you, woman. He's looking at you, brother. And he's saying, he shall say, referring to us, in the Lord, surely in the Lord, I have what? Right. Or you can say, I am the righteousness of God in the Lord, in Christ Jesus. Surely in the Lord, I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. To confirm again, in the Lord, in Christ, all the descendants of Israel, and we are all Abraham's seed, shall be justified. And you know what follows justification? Once you know you are justified, you know what happens? Glory is waiting for you. Shall be justified and shall glory. And sometimes once in a while, over this side of heaven, I have seen people, all right, when they know they are righteous in Christ, they are very humble. And once in a while, I see their face glow. I see the radiance. I have noticed Christians long before I know they are Christians by their radiant faces. One thing Wendy tells me often when we meet people in a mall and a food court or whatever, one of the most frequent things that she would tell me, notice their faces. Our people's face shine and they don't even know it. Amen. The opposite is just like thunder. Amen. Beware of the dog. Amen. So, here is your authority. Where you have that part where God saw that people will start confessing, in the Lord I have righteousness. By the way, strength here is uz. Uz. You know the Uzi gun? It's a Jewish invention. They took the word uz and put Uzi, my strength. But uz, always in the New Testament, when it's not referring to God, it's referring to man, it's always physical strength. So where do you get your physical strength? In the Lord, I have righteousness and strength. The first use of it is in the song of Moses after God opened up the Red Sea. Moses said, the Lord is my strength, my ooze. No wonder he lived to 120 years old. The Lord is his physical strength. No wonder when he died at 120, he wasn't sick. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Because he said, the Lord is my ooze. The Lord is my physical strength. The Lord is my... You must learn to confess, people. Like the lady I shared just now, she can... Indeed, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That takes revelation. Can I have a good amen, people? That's why that explains the attack against the body of Christ. Well, what he's teaching you is that there's no such thing as sin. Why would I teach that and then teach you to step in the righteousness of another? If there is no sin, if I'm teaching there's no sin, you don't need any righteousness, yours or anybody else's. Duh. Or he's teaching people that there's no sin. If I say there's no sin, then what do I mean when I say we have forgiveness of sins? Duh. See, the attack is not human. It is infernal. The devil knows that the moment, the day you realize that you are now functioning, operating, standing in the righteousness of another, capital A, his days of molesting you, bullying you, are over. Amen. Are you listening, people? Huh? Shikala babala shantala bahaya. Mange, mange, sukuruba shantai. I got so much, you know, but time is catching up. So I'm just going to tell you something right now. Let's go right to Romans chapter 4. Verse 13. Let's go to verse 13. For the promise that Abraham will be the heir of the world. Now, heir of the world, is it a wow? Is it like a wow to you, heir of the world? Yeah. Heir of the world means what? If I tell you, hey, you are now the heir of the world, you say, wow. You don't say, wow. You say, what? next thing you will say is you crazy. That is Singapore. Singaporean English is like this, right? Huh? You crazy. My son has picked up on it. Huh? Huh? No lah. Huh? Huh? Then we tell him, hey, don't speak like that. But actually, who is talking like that? I remember when Jessica was really small. So Wendy and I traveled for a while. Okay. And then we came back and she was la here, la there, la everywhere. You know, so I went to my mom who took care of Jessica. I said, Mom, what happened to her? She's saying la, 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 la. You know, did you say la a lot in front of her? My mom said, not me la. She's adorable, my mom. Amen. Still a strong lady, by the way. For the promise that he'll be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. So you see, the promise is not, this promise of being the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, which is Christ primarily. Then all of us are Abraham's seed because we are in Christ. How does it come to us? It does not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Hence, we understand why the devil is fighting tooth and nail against the righteousness of faith and why he's promoting the law. So whenever you read a blog, whenever you read an article, whenever you read a book, whenever you hear a sermon, and that person seems to promote the law and trying to belittle grace, all right? Oh, I believe in grace, but, you know, they bring back the law and hardly promote righteousness of faith, you know who is behind it. And it will stop you from becoming the heir of the world. To be the heir of the world, you must be healthy. Or else, how can you be the heir of the world? To be the heir of the world, you must have some means. Because the poor cannot help the poor. Amen. So that's why the devil wants to stop your confession, especially when you're going through tough times. Are you listening, people? So, Abraham was under the blessing of God. He's an heir of the world. He's a righteousness by faith. And that's why all the sons of Abraham, they wanted the blessing so much. They wanted the blessing so much. They wanted the Father to bless them. Because they know the blessing of Abraham would go on, which includes what? Righteousness. And with righteousness comes what? All the blessing for the righteous. For example, you read, there shall no evil happen to the righteous. Right? Now it's yours. You read, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You always think it's somebody else. It's Pastor Henry. No, it's yours. Amen. Amen. So all the blessings become yours. Righteousness is a gift. Amen? Now, is it possible, thank you, is it possible that you are the righteousness of God and still be defeated? Is it possible? Let's close with this story, shall we? All right, we have looked at doctrine. Now, let's go to a story. Let's go to the story of Jacob, you know. Jacob, before we look at Jacob's story, I just want to tell you this. Jacob is a very interesting fellow. How many would agree with me that Jacob, being the grandson of Abraham, he has the blessing of Abraham. He's the heir of the world, right? He's righteous by faith. Right? Come on. In fact, the Ten Commandments wasn't given yet. It'll be 400 over years after Jacob's life. So, he walked with God. The problem with Jacob is this. Even though the mother was pregnant with him and his brother, twins, in her womb, Rebecca went to God and said, what's going on? What's going on? She sensed there's a turmoil going in her womb. And the Lord says, two nations are in your womb. But the elder will serve the younger. She heard God say, the elder will serve the younger. We all know who is the elder, Esau. All right, Esau is supposed to serve Jacob. Sorry, excuse me. Yeah, Esau is the older, serve Jacob, right? You all know the story, what happened? After they were born, the mother devised a plan, all right? Even though God spoke to her, it's always this is a problem. God speaks to us, it's not enough. We want to help God. And women, don't help God. All right, God is able to promote your son. Don't have to speak to this person or speak to Pastor Henry. Let God do it. Amen. See, there are people who are not happy with us because we didn't put their son up here, so they left church. Amen. My heart for them is this. Look, may your son prosper, but don't be the one to push your son. Let God be the one to raise him. Or else one day he was saying, have you seen my childhood? You know, then you'll cry. Amen. I think we're very, very careful about pushing, trying to live through our children the dreams that we was not fulfilled in our lives. All right? No, please love them. Don't use them. And where was I? Yeah. Jacob. So the mother tried to help Jacob. So the time came. Isaac was in the mood, all right, to bless. The mother says, you know, he's going to give the blessing. And his eyes was dim. He cannot see properly. So he's going by touch. Now, Esau, the older brother, has hairy. He's like a Harrison Ford. I mean, strong and hairy and handsome. Okay? The younger one, the Bible says, always stays at home. He's like one of the Korean stars. Everything's smooth. Read your Bible. It says that. It says that Esau is a hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a man of the tent. Plain and has no hair. Every time I preach on this, Pastor Mark always says something. He will demonstrate to me that he has no hair, you know, in front of all of us while we are eating. Okay, anyway, the mother says, okay, I tell you what, all right, your father just asked for venison from your brother because he loves to eat your brother's venison. But I tell you what, I'll kill a venison and I'll take a goat, all right, I'll kill a goat and I'll take the goat's skin and wrap you, your arms with the goat's skin. So your father is blind, he can't see. When he touches you, he will think it's Esau. Then Jacob says, but mother, he will curse me. Listen to what the mother said. Upon me be your curse. Now, just remember this. Even though they're under the blessing of Abraham, you got to be careful what you say. Yeah. Do you know that when Jacob left home, the mother says, go away for a few days. Because, okay, let me just tell you what happened. Then the father ate the food. He says it feels like Jacob's hands. Feels like Esau's hands, but the voice is Jacob's voice, he said. Anyway, the father blessed him. Now, God already said that Jacob will be the firstborn, or rather the one getting the firstborn blessing. And the father gave the firstborn blessing. Then, when he went out, Esau came in with his venison. And the truth was known. And the son, Esau, cried and cried, and the father laid hands on him and gave him some leftover blessings. But not the firstborn blessing. And he said in his heart, when my father dies and the period of mourning is over, I'm going to kill Jacob. The mother heard about it. The mother told him, son, go away to my brother's place. Laban is her brother, all right? And flee from this place and come back only when your brother's anger has abated. Go for a few days. The word few days is there. Now, this is the sad part. She never saw him again. The mother never saw him again. Here are lessons for us to learn. Even though we are under the blessing of Abraham, we are righteous by faith, there are things we got to watch what we say. Don't say die, 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 die. Amen. Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ, there's power, y'all. Power to reign. And reign is always with the mouth. The mother says, upon me be your curse. And she never saw him. And she said, go away for a few days. He stayed for 20 years. Married Leah, Rachel, you know, had 12 sons. They became the 12 tribes. By the time he came back, the mother was dead. The father was still alive. There's something to remember. Jacob, by the way, had children with his uncle's daughters, all right? And the Bible, you know the story, the 12 sons and all that. Later on, the 12th son was born near Bethlehem, all right? Or rather, the 12th one was Benjamin, born near Bethlehem. And then the time came. God appeared to him, and God says, I am the God of Bethel. By the way, when he left his father's house, he slept at a place later on called Bethel. He put a number of rocks under his hood and he fell asleep. And he had a dream. He dreamed a ladder and angels ascending and descending. And the Lord said this to him. What did the Lord say? The Lord said to him, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Now, God never rebuked him in this. He just deceived his father. Yet, because of the righteousness of faith, God would deal with him, yes. But God would deal with him in love. Transform him, yes. But notice, this happened immediately after he deceived his father. Yet, there was no rebuke from God. In fact, God says, I will keep you, protect you. Say protect. The word keep there in Hebrew is shomar. Shomar is hedge around, protect you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you. Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He called the place Bethel. He anointed the pillar that he slept on, the rocks. He made a pillar. He anointed with oil. All right? He calls it Bethel. And then as he took his staff and all that, he said, God, I only have my clothes on my back and a staff. But Lord, whatever you give me from now on, I'll give the 10 to you. That's the last part of Genesis 28. So he went to his uncle's place. You know the story, he fell in love with Rachel. But instead of Rachel, he got Leah. All right? Deception breeds deception. All right? He deceived his father and now is deceived by his uncle. Whenever God has ways to discipline us, and by the way, discipline is love. If a child is loved, a child will be disciplined. Come on, people. Amen? And if you are mean and you are harsh, you'll meet someone meaner. You're not the champ. You'll meet someone. Then you ask, God, why? God will just love you quietly. Always remember that. Okay? And but the promise is this, I'll protect you wherever you go. If only Jacob meditated on that. So he had children, married Leah, and then a competition with the ladies and all that. You know, so you can read all by yourself. 20 years he spent there instead of a few days. 20 years. Then finally God appeared to him. God said, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar. I am the God of Bethel. Go back to Bethel. Go back to your father's land. So he started to gather all his family. All right. One night, he didn't tell the father-in-law. All right. He was afraid to tell the father-in-law. He took all his children, young children, his wives, the servants, and donkeys, and flock, and all, and he fled when Laban was shearing sheep, and Laban heard about it. 3 days later, Laban and his men—they are warriors, desert warriors, like those Arab warriors you see. All right, they rode on a horse and they chased him for 7 days, and because he's moving slow with the family and all flock and all that, they caught up with him, and then he said, "Look, you know, I could have killed you. What is this? There's no celebration. You didn't give me a chance to kiss my daughters that you married, my grandchildren and all that. It's in my heart to kill you. But last night, God appeared to me in a dream. And God said to me not to do anything to you, good or bad. Or to say anything to you. Had God not said that, he says. He was very angry. I just want to ask you, why? If you want to go, why take my gods? Jacob said, take your gods. Why do you take my gods? My idols. In Hebrew, teraphim. He says, I didn't take your idols. No, my idols, my household idols are missing. You know who took it? Rachel. And Rachel put it under the camel saddle that she sat on. Then Jacob said this, whoever you find the idol with, let him die. Let him not live. It was a curse from a righteous by faith man. Are you listening, people? So Laban, his father-in-law, checked the tent of Jacob, cannot find. Leah's tent, his daughter's tent, cannot find. Rachel's tent, cannot find. Finally, at Rachel. All right, Rachel was sitting on the camel, and the idols were there. And she said, I'm sorry, father, I can't get up for you because it's the time of the month. That's in the Bible. The father says, okay. He took his man, he left. Laban was an idol worshiper. And his daughter, that beautiful Rachel, was also believing in idols. The curse was pronounced. He didn't know it was Rachel. Rachel died before he arrived back to his father's house in Hebron. She died near Bethlehem. And the baby she gave birth to was called She called him Ben-Oni, son of my sorrow. But the father says, no, he'll be Benjamin, son of my right hand. You see, the thing is this, people. You gotta be. Though we are righteous by faith, amen? Watch our words. Yep. Pastor Prince, my husband, they are one or two, always, you know, their marriage is not altogether there. The lady might worry. My husband cursed me all the time. Don't worry. Amen? Every time he cursed you, Jesus cancels it. In this case, she had an idol, and he didn't know he was pronouncing a foundation of righteousness. You know, there was a foundation. The curse costless shall not come. There was a cost here. Sad. But you all need to hear the truth. One last story. On the way back, God told him what? Go back to Bethel. Go back to your father's house. See what happened here. Genesis 33. Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram, and he pitched his tent before the city. Now, this is the same as Lot. Remember Lot, Abraham's nephew? He pitched his tent towards the city. Every time you see the world, you picture the world, you're entertained by the world, you think the world has the standard, The world has all the beauty. The world has all the whatever. And you neglect the word of God. This is what happens. He bought the parcel of land. Now, does it sound like someone moving? He bought the parcel of land where he had pitched his tent from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. So this place is called Shechem. I've seen that place from a mountain near the city of Samaria. It's still there. Today it's called Nablus, all right, in Israel. But Shechem is the name of a prince. The father's name is Hamor. And the whole place is called Shechem, okay? For 100 pieces of money, there he erected an altar there and called it El Elohe Israel, which means God, the God of Israel. Now, even though he had an altar there, it sounds like, in a way, God told him what? Go back to Bethel, the house where you had a dream, right? Go back to your father's house. But what did he do? He bought a parcel of land. Do you see that? It sounds like he wants to settle down. All right, next verse. Then he erected an altar there, called it El. Now Dinah. You all know that he has 12 sons and one daughter. Most people do not know the name of the daughter. Her name is Dinah. Dinah is feminine for Dan. He had a son called Dan. So the feminine form is Dinah. Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had born to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. I want to tell you something. She did not go out to see the men, the young boys, the young handsome men. As a girl is, right? She's near a city, a foreign city. The Jewish people have their own dressing, their own culture, their own, you know, way of doing things. But she is interested in another culture, how the girls dress, their fashion, how they study, how they play around, you know. She was interested in the daughters. Now, I'm saying that because she got raped. So some people blame her, but let me tell you this. She went out to see the daughters of the land. And why was she there in the first place? And where are the brothers? And where is the father, Jacob? Come on. Hey, people, are you listening? You should be watching your grown daughter like a hawk. Come on. You're in a dangerous area. Where is her guardian? Albeit, she went out to see the daughters of the land. And parents, always remember this. It all starts innocent. I can't understand parents who cannot say no to their children when they're still under their roof. You have the authority. Like I said before, sometimes they want you to say no. So they can tell their friends, you said no. So they don't have to be the one to say no. There are things that I said no to Jessica that today she tells me, now I understand why you said no. She thanks me for it. Don't be afraid to say no. Is Abraham righteous? Jacob righteous by faith? Yes. Is he a man under the blessing of Abraham? Yes. Not just that, he has the firstborn blessing. But watch, where you stay, what you allow will happen. Because you are the head. Some men, you know, they throw response to the wife. The wife makes the decision. It's not exactly a very good decision. Start yelling, start scolding the wife. But where was your leadership in the first place? You're the leader of the house. Even though she made a wrong decision, all right, it's our decision. It's never her decision. It's our problem. Yep. Amen. Appreciate Pastor Prince. Good, Pastor Prince. Hallelujah. That's good preaching, Pastor Prince. My man. So it's very easy to just push things to our wives, especially when they're capable. But remember, once you do that, you've lost your right to complain. You've lost your right, all right, if she makes the wrong decision. You're going to have your cake and eat it. Or else you do it. And then she can criticize. No, the whole thing, people, is this. Jacob abdicated his role of leadership. Where was he? I mean, he has servants and manservants and even nurses, you know, to watch over the young ones. Where are they? So she went, Dinah went, and when Shechem, the prince, the son of Hamor, the Hivite prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her, and violated her. New Living Translation says, raped her. His soul Now, this is a funny occurrence, very unique, not all the cases like that. But this man was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman and spoke kindly to the young woman. So the deed is done, but at least he has the honor, right? The respectability to want to marry her. Okay, so Shechem spoke to his father, Hamor, and said, get me this young woman as a wife. Now the story goes on. Hamor, the father of Shechem, came to Jacob and said, this happened. You know, I'm so sorry, but my son really wants to marry your daughter. And the Bible says that Jacob waited for his sons to come back from the field. And the sons came back from the field and he told his son, and the sons were very angry. Simeon and Levi especially. Note this name, Simeon and Levi. Because years after, when Jacob was dying, before that, he prophesied over all his 12 sons. He said, Simeon and Levi, instruments of cruelty, he calls them. They would be separated. Because together, they are very notorious. So they said, oh, you can marry my daughter, our sister. Of course, you can marry our sister. But our culture is that all the men are circumcised. Okay? I'm so sorry. This is our culture. If you want to be part of us, you want to marry our daughter, is you want to marry our daughter, plus there's a violation done already, then you and your father and all the men of this city must be circumcised. And then we can do trade together. In fact, Hamor, the father of Shechem, says, we can do trade together. You know, we can do business together. Feel free to stay wherever you want to stay. See, the first place, they were not supposed to be there. They stayed there for a long time. And they weighed the decision and said, okay. And it's very honorable. The Bible used the word honorable of the prince, Shechem. He went to his elders, the church board, the church council. Not the church council, I mean their council. Went to the council and said, this is what the man wants and all that. I mean, these are grown men, you know. You're talking about, you know. And they all agreed. The whole city of Shechem, all the men agreed. And the Bible says on the third day, after the circumcision, on the third day, when the pain really kicks in, usually on the first day, sometimes you feel the pain, but not as worse as the third day, when it's really flaming painful, all right? They cannot even move properly. Simeon and Levi took swords. They went into the city of Shechem and slew all the men, plus Hamor, the father, and the prince Shechem. Killed all of them. Took the women and children as captives and took all their cows and their asses and their flocks and took them. Now, the father heard about it. The father said, Jacob said to Simeon, I'm going a bit fast because of time, okay? You should be reading this at home, okay? I should not be reading for you. You understand or not? Don't read your Bible. Come here. Expect me to read for you. Okay. No. The Bible is exciting, more exciting than a Korean drama. That one, fake. This one, real. Amen. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me, he told his two sons, Simeon and Levi, because these are the two in cahoots. You have troubled me by making me obnoxious, hateful among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me. I shall be destroyed, my household and I. But they said, should he treat our sister like a harlot? That doesn't justify what they have done wrong. So look at that. Wrong place, wrong time. Staying there for too long. Daughter got raped. The sons murdered. Wow, it's a mess. But look at this man, Jacob. What was he concerned about? See, I read, and sometimes you read slow. I'm going to show you what he's concerned about. Okay, ready? Ready? Okay, let's look again. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, his two sons, you have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me. I shall be destroyed, my household, and I. 8 times, my friend. The personal pronoun is just amazing. This man only thinks of himself. Fathers who get their kids into trouble usually, all right, it's my career, my money, my next step up the ladder, all right, it's I, me, my. Stop and think what's good for your children. Have you ever done that? Maybe you have to take another job. Maybe you have to change your lifestyle. Now, all too soon, they are grown up. you know, there's nothing more precious than family. And he's so self-occupied that it's all about him. He forgot the promise. Years ago, 20 years ago, God said to him, I will protect you everywhere you go. I will protect you. And he's talking about people killing him. All right? Next verse, next chapter. They said, okay, verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, I love the way God talks. You know, God didn't even talk about the killing and all. It's almost like God tell him, go back to plan A. God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. Again, God said what? Arise, go up to Bethel. Plan A again. Aren't you glad sometimes we know we have done wrong, and we go to him and all he says that, like I said just now, 2 years ago, like I said just now, last year, go back. Remember from where you fell. God is cool. God says, arise, go up to Bethel. Bethel means house of God, and dwell there. And make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. Now watch this. Some change happened in Jacob. Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel. Listen. After all these years, 20 years, in his household, there were still idols. There were still idols. I wonder if someone comes to your house and then see the magazine on horoscope. That's a great way to have a scope of horror in your life. And then they see books on the occult and then there's no sense of you're bringing danger to your house. These are things that belong to the devil. I remember one night, I felt very, very dark in that whole room. Many years ago, I got up and I said, Lord, what's going on? Jessica was crying and crying one night. I said, what's going on? And I felt very dark in the room. And the Lord says, keep walking. And I walk and walk. I walk to my library, open up my library, and God said, look up there. And it's a shelf that I seldom see. I climb up there. I took out some books, and they were all books I bought in Israel. And they were books on the Kabbalah. But I saw some very interesting things inside. But Kabbalah is very dark. It's not based on the Bible. It's a dangerous book to read. I can tell you that. I thought that the way they figure out gematria and all that was interesting, but for that one or two page, I bought the entire book and I bought a few books and I look at them. I said, I can't believe. Now I had more knowledge, but I didn't even know the books were there. And I threw away all those books. The whole building heard blah, boom, blah, 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 about 3 a.m. Blah, 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 blah. You know how heavy books fall. Blah, 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 blah. I tell you, like this, the air cleared. Like this. Jessica stopped crying. But sometimes, you know, we don't allow the things of the devil to come into the house. All right? Now, don't go off on a tangent, you know, and listen to other Christians say, TV is also the devil. You see, it's a one-eyed devil, you know. Don't swing to the other side, okay? All right? But some things are clearly occultic. Materials that are occultic. Amen. So they had this, put away the foreign gods. Then arise, he says, go up to Bethel. There's a sense of like when God speaks to you, and after all the discipline you have gone through, there's a sense of like, you know, let's come on. These things and God doesn't go together. That's the day you are growing. Even though you're righteous by faith, even you have the blessing of Abraham, but there's a time where you feel, okay? Now watch happens. Watch what happens when they travel. Don't forget, he's afraid that people will kill them, right? Watch the next verse. Watch and be encouraged. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods that were in their hands. It was there. The sons and the daughters and who else? And all the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree, which was by Shechem. And they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them. And they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. God will never, never let you down.
Amen.
When you flow with him, he could have done the same and put a terror of God on Shechem before he raped Dinah. But the thing is that the father exposed Dinah there. Amen. And they were foreign gods that they were entertaining. Though they worship God, many of them are like people today. They worship God, but they have, you know, plan B. For God, only plan A. Go back to Bethel. A few years later, you bang, boom, bang, boom, bang, boom, bang, boom, bang, come back. God, anything? Go back to Bethel. It was at Bethel. You see, there are Christians who are righteous by faith, but they don't believe God can protect them. They don't believe if they give up something, God has something better. They cannot believe if they make decisions, not just for profitability, but for the good of their family, that God will bless them with even more profitability. They cannot believe that. They cannot believe if you seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. And then you find them falling into adultery, losing their children, having a big house, but there's no intimacy. I mean, come on, people. Is this what life is all about? Don't wait until it's too late. Right? You are older today than you were yesterday. I'm speaking plainly now. I know you are renewed in the youth. Yes, yes, yes. Like a butterfly, I know. All right? But speaking naturally, you're not getting younger. Cherish every moment you have with your loved ones, with your children. Amen? Set an example before them that they can respect. Amen. And don't be afraid to say no to them. When they are still under your house, you can say no. It's amazing how biblically illiterate our Christian children are. It's amazing. Okay, praise God. I'm going to end there and tell you this. Looking back years, 20 years earlier, when he was lying down there, all right, he dreamed a dream. This promise is also for you. At Bethel, before he knew it was Bethel, Jacob dreamed. He just deceived his father. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and it stopped reached heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now we fast forward to the New Testament, and we'll close with this verse. Jesus in John 1 said to Nathanael, "Amen, amen, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The place of Bethel, the house of God, is where angels come with treasures from heaven. Amen. I have seen like treasures being poured. Golden oil touches someone and someone is just healed. Amen. All the dietary things and all that exercise cannot remove that condition. In one smack moment, an angel pouring out, the person is healed of a chronic condition. All the testimonies you hear me share, deliverance from chronic condition, deliverance from porn addiction, the angels may be involved. Jesus is the healer. He's the deliverer. He allows angels. Amen. So where is the place where angels are coming down, angels are going up? That's the place that God promised Jacob, "I'll bless you. I'll bless your children. They'll multiply east, west, south, and I'll protect you everywhere you go." If only Jacob had meditated on that and believed God. But he's a righteous man who is always afraid something bad will happen. Amen? But this same promise is for you. Why? We have Jesus. That ladder that Jacob saw is actually Jesus. He is the one that angels come down and angels go up. Because with Jesus, heaven and earth are met. Amen. It's very easy for anything in heaven to come down on earth. Any need, heaven has a supply. Amen. And you have Jesus. So you have the same promise. He's telling you, "I'll protect you wherever you go." And remember this. God wants you to confess, "In the Lord Jesus, I have righteousness and strength." Amen. That doesn't do away with the need of asking God for wisdom, living depending on him so that we guide our families. Amen. In the right pastures. Amen. In green pastures. Doesn't exempt us from having responsibility to live our life for the glory of God. And all the people said, "Amen." Have you been blessed? Yes. Give him praise, church. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 What a wonderful story. One of the sons of Jacob was called Judah. From Judah came David the king. From David the king came Jesus Christ, the Messiah. God watch over this family. The thing I want to say to you prophetically right now is this. God is watching over you more than you realize. Some of the disappointments you are going through, I'm speaking prophetically right now. Some of the disappointments. God doesn't discipline with diseases. God doesn't discipline with, you know, losing an arm or car accidents. But God does discipline many a times when we find a closed door. We find ourselves getting disappointed. We find ourselves getting frustrated. We don't get what we want. And many a time is to get our attention from a God who loves us. Perhaps we are too self-occupied. Right now as I speak, Pastor Lawrence just finished a week in Bhutan preaching the gospel of grace to pastors and leaders and young people there. There's a world crying while we are actually satiated with material goods. There's a world crying. There's a world dying to not know Jesus. Some of you, it'd be great for you to jump into one of these missions to go to Cambodia, bless the children, see the joy in their faces, and come back and believe that when you seek God's kingdom first, all these things will be added to you. Whatever you give up for Jesus, you receive 100-fold now in this life. Because God loves you. Friend, whose righteousness are you trusting? Yours? Or are you finished with your righteousness? No matter how good you think you are, you can never reach the perfect standard of God. Or will you say, I need a Savior. I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior and Lord. My friend, it's not by chance you are here today or watching this, whether you are in GRC in Dallas, but it's your first time, you've never heard the name of Jesus being proclaimed in such a manner that Jesus wants to be your righteousness before God. But if that is you, wherever you are right now, pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross as the payment for all my sins. Justice is satisfied. The law magnified. And Jesus Christ is my Lord and my righteousness, now and forever. Thank you, Father. All my sins are forgiven. Christ has been raised from the dead. And forevermore, my righteousness is a man at the Father's right hand. Thank you, Father, that you measure me from this day forth, not by what I do here, but by that man at your right hand. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from self-occupation to Christ's occupation, from corruption to loveliness, to behold the lovely one. In Jesus' name, amen. You're saved. You are saved. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to look away from self that is so full of weaknesses, full of incongruity, ambiguity, full of, you know, hypocrisy, full of pride, to look at someone perfect, beautiful. I told my daughter this. You look at any celebrity, feet of clay, always disappointing their fans, always disappointing their wives or something like that. None of them is perfect, but you look at Jesus, perfect, the altogether lovely one. Amen. Let me pray for those of you with families. All right, it's not too late. I say it's not too late. Amen. The God of Bethel will turn things around. All right. To the original purpose he has for you. Back to Bethel. Father in heaven, make every house under the sound of my voice in this church, everyone is watching by way of television, Grace Revolution Church in Dallas, make every family under the sound of my voice, make every family a Bethel, a house of God. I pray, Father, that our household, our families will be a house full of angels, a house filled with the Shekinah glory of God, a house where our children will not behold things, Lord, that are evil, and then step towards it, Lord, and find themselves captivated, Lord, and captured. Father, we pray that you will deliver our children from all the onslaughts of the enemy in these end times. Father, we pray that as you have promised Jacob, and we are the seed of Abraham, and the promise of Jacob and the same leather is ours today. Thank you, Father, that you protect every one of us, every single one of us, Lord, and our families from the morass of immorality and corruption, from the evil one. You protect them, Lord. You bring them up strong, pure, kind, true to you, Lord. In love, lovers of Jesus, in love with him. Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor. Restore. Father, restore our family life. Restore quality time. Restore the lost years, the years the locust has eaten. Restore every family. Restore every marriage. Restore the places that have been forfeited, Lord. Leadership that have been abdicated. Husbands that have surrendered their position of leadership for that which is convenient. I pray, restore. Restore in Jesus' name. We're in the wrong place, Father. Put us all at the right place at the right time. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and your families, and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and your loved ones and grant to you and your families shalom, wholeness, well-being, health, and peace. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
You've been listening to Pastor Joseph Prince, and we trust that you've been blessed. For more information on our messages, books, and videos, do visit our website at josephprince.com. Register today and receive a complimentary MP3 message. You'll also receive an exclusive Meditate and Believe Right daily email by Joseph Prince. Be greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply